All right. Here's what we'll do. Why don't we do the carry out? This, of course, our nightly segment here on The Download where I read the news. So you at home, you don't have to. Unless you want to talk softball. We could do that too. Here are today's top stories. A big vote in city council giving city money to Presence Health for a downtown building and to build four community-based health centers. Sounds great. Sounds good enough for me. But this week it was revealed that Presence doesn't offer abortions or other reproductive rights to women. They're a Catholic institution. They're following the rule of their religion, which we all know trumps rule of law, right? Progressive aldermen came out against giving TIF money, but were defeated 31-18. After the meeting, Mayor Emanuel gave an emotional speech about how the progressive aldermen were grandstanding for 2019 and that he is 100% pro-choice and 100% women's rights. All right, well, then why'd you give him such a huge tax break? That's the only question to answer, Mayor. No, I'm 100%. Okay. Alderman Leslie Hairston said it best. This is what she said. She said, this is not about health care. It's about using public dollars to support religious institutions that don't support the right as we, as women, have in this country. Mic drop. That is a succinct emotional speech. The mayor being like, He turned real Mayor Daly today. The mayor's heartfelt meandering never answered the question that Hairston posed. Instead, he did what he always does. He told us a story about a little old lady on the campaign trail. No, this is similar, same concept. He got all defensive because I'm not sure he has a defense. He's out in front of every other progressive liberal issue like he's courting that vote, but then turns his back on it when it's, well, about money. And that's at the core of the division of the Democratic Party in Chicago. Listen, there isn't a GOP movement in the city. We all know that. It's progressive Democrat versus mainstream Democrat. And Chicago's at a crossroads. Does this big city, the city that has planted its flag as an anti-Trump city, go the way of full progressive cities like San Francisco or Seattle? Or is Chicago still a meat and potatoes town? A town that supports liberal values, but to an extent. And behind the scenes has a cozy relationship with corporations, special interests, and the almighty dollar. What's the old adage? Chicago ain't ready for reform. Maybe it should be changed to Chicago ain't ready for the rebellion. Now, I do think it's more complicated than just saying that a religious institution shouldn't get taxpayer monies and then not offer legally protected rights. Wait, I guess I am saying that. That's not very complicated. I don't know. The issue in the city is overshadowing the political stories in the state. The election is in full swing, and the Dems running for governor talked to the Sun-Times editorial board today. I watched a little of it. It was like a set. It was a Facebook Live. It was a blacked-out set, kind of like Charlie Rose, but it had two long wedding-like head tables with, you know, the white tablecloths facing each other. So reporters were on one side and candidates were on the other. It was like a low-rent Family Feud. Without Steve Harvey mugging the camera after Grandma said, I don't know, Whoopi. She said, what? He just holds that look for 10 seconds. It was fine. You get the idea that the candidates have settled in on their talking points. Pritzker's anti-Trump. Kennedy's really about the city. Biss, all about the middle class. Actually, Daniel Biss had that exasperated look that only Daniel Biss can give us. Although it was like 11 a.m. in the morning. He's always looking. He's got that look. He looks annoyed that he has to say it again. We're dealing with the middle class. And it's all about the rich people. When I see Daniel talk, that's what he just looks like. Oh, how many times am I going to have to say this? A lot. It's a campaign. On the other side, Rauner's taking on Jeannie Ives. But at this point, he's been somewhat quiet. But I didn't realize that his budget address is coming up. The beginning of February, and according to some sources, he's going to push for the repeal of the income tax hike that was set in place to balance last year's budget. And it's possible he could be going right back to the delinquent budgets and stalemates less than a year after we finally got something done. Wow. Not sure that's the right memory you want to bring up in Illinois voters' minds. Remember when the state set records in futility and I racked up billions in unpaid bills and came super close to bankrupting the state? Give me four more years. And I'll do it again. I will say this. Jeannie Ives is representing the conservative Republican voter in the primary. But who's going for the Trump vote? Rauner has distanced himself from Trump, and Ives has as well. So who's the Roy Moore of the Illinois gubernatorial election? I mean, that's the wave, right? I mean, I hear about it all the time in national elections. There's more Trump candidates, Trumpian candidates coming out. What about the state of Illinois? We should nominate someone here on the download. What about the dude that won The Apprentice, Bill Rancic? Right? He'd be a Trump guy. Or how about a real estate mogul, right? Like a Sam Zell. Where's Sam Zell at? We're looking for you, Zell. You could do a lot of fun things. Buyer Zell. Do we have someone who used to be on TV? Seems like that's a Trumpian thing. You got to had a show. Is Solozzi and or Edelson available? Chicago knows him. The Obama Library is coming together, and as any new project in the city of Chicago, the community hates it. No. But they do want what's called a community benefits agreement. The CBA is something that's been done in the past. When cities build big, new, shiny ballparks and stadiums, they sign one of these to make sure the communities around it get first crack at economic opportunity. Simple enough. But the Obama Foundation says, you know what? We're more of a handshake foundation. We don't like pens and papers and contracts and signatures and promises. But we promise. Cool? They want the community to forget the politician Barack Obama and embrace the cool, rich celebrity Barack Obama. He won't screw you over. He's hang gliding with Richard Branson and the guy who invented the Canadian goose jacket. I don't know about the latter, but I assume whoever makes those expensive jackets is rich and powerful and hang gliding with Barack Obama, right? Steve Bannon was on Capitol Hill today, sort of testified in front of the House committee, but his lawyer was allegedly relaying the questions in real time to the White House to get clarification on how to answer or if to answer at all. That can't be real. Is that real? Really? Once a reality show, always a reality show. Did they phone a friend? Did they take the 50-50? Did the lights do that dun-dun-dun thing? Did Bannon talk out his answer? I know collusion. And I know that Jared Kushner was in the room. But it can't be Ivanka Trump. So I'll take C. I'll take plead the fifth. In other local news, 14 kids in a Humboldt Park Elementary School were sent to the hospital after ingested marijuana candies. CPS is investigating. Something tells me that one dad is being like, hey, have you seen my... Where'd all that go? That's a ridiculous story. And I hate... It's come on, man. Have some responsibility. And one that seems to be inevitable since the marijuana industry decided candy and gummies and cookies were the best way to get you high. How about a stalk of broccoli? Is there a marijuana stalk of broccoli? No kid's going to go close to that. What are you chewing on, Dad? Also, second case of the measles reported at O'Hare. And for the millennials out there, no, the measles is not a ska punk band. It's a long-lost disease like gangrene or Sum 41. Anyway, this is high time for you to be that guy who wears a surgical mask at the airport. If you were thinking about it and you were like, nah, that's just too dramatic and pretentious. No, now you can get away with it this week. I'm going to get mine bedazzled. And get this, the new Starbucks on Michigan Avenue, it's going to be right down here. It's taking over the Crate and Barrel. When completed, it'll be the biggest Starbucks in the world. Yes, there's going to be so much room for cream. We'll take a quick break, come back, and we'll get to the weather and sports. We're doing the carryout. Stay with us. Did you hear my so much room for cream joke? It's a really good one. That's a good joke. That's like a Jimmy Fallon level joke.
I was laughing.
There's going to be the biggest Starbucks in the world. There's going to be so much room for cream.
Get more of those unicorn frappuccinos going.
I need the Jay Leno that joke. I need to be like, here, I'll do my Jay Leno. Ready? This one goes, the biggest Starbucks in the world. Yeah. We're going to be so much room for cream because it's going to be a big Starbucks and people always ask for room for cream. That's how I told all his jokes. All right. Anyway, we'll keep going with the carry out. I got the weather and sports to do, so why don't we
carry
do
on
as well? In weather, pool weather this weekend, huh? No? 40s. Well, close enough. Still super cold in Russia where it got to negative 88 degrees this week. Eyelashes are freezing. I mean, that's cold. When reached for comment, resident Dmitry Balzov is like, I'm freezing my name off. I'm on fire tonight, man. These are good bits. Oh, Northwestern basketball should play more often. I get an extra hour to refine these. Freezing my name off. In sports, the Bulls had a chance to prove to the world that they were for real in this meaningless regular season game, and they kind of did. The Bulls lost to the Golden State Warriors tonight, but they played tough. They got it to within 5 points with under three to go, but then Chris Dunn dunked the basketball and fell on his face, knocking out his teeth. Yikes! Then they had a chance at the end to get within a bucket, but Markkanen airballed a three-pointer. But you know what? Also, let's not get too excited about a close loss to the Warriors. Durant and Curry sat most of the second half, and no Draymond Green or Iguodala tonight. So, and let's face it, no interest from the Warriors. They don't care. They're in Chicago. They're like, we need to get out. I don't need to get over to RPM Steak. We need to close this out. Our time's a-wasting. We're going to get a party in Chicago. What's with all the fights in the NBA now? Have you noticed this? Lots of them every night. And they're spilling into locker rooms and secret hallways and the basements of arenas. The Bulls don't do that. Instead, no. We do it the old-fashioned way. We fight in practice. Sucker punches and all. We don't do it on the court. In college basketball, you heard here on WGN Radio, Northwestern losing to Ohio State at the Allstate Arena. They were down big most of the game, but they too came roaring back at the end to get within three, but fell short. The Cats now 11-9, 2-5 in the Big Ten. That puts them in the bottom three in the conference. Also, the Wildcats found so many ways tonight to ruin awesome Dave Ennett calls. Did you notice that? When Dave gets excited, and it's one of the best moments in sports broadcasting, there's a steal by McIntosh Tunnels, and it's a rebound by Ohio State. Scotty Lindsay has another break. This goes, and it's Ohio State grabs the ball. They're now up 10. It's a lot of that tonight. Like, get really excited, and then, you know. Watch out for Purdue this year. They're ranked third in the country. They got a freshman who's 7'3" from Amsterdam. Wow. That's what you get when you have a healthy dose of Gouda cheese and space cakes. Is Gouda from Amsterdam? I don't know. It's somewhere in that area. Say it isn't so. I'm still waiting for the correction from the Chicago media on the story that Corey Crawford may be out for the year. It still hasn't come, so maybe the story's accurate. Allegedly, Crow's experiencing symptoms from vertigo, second time in his career. This is a tough blow for a team that is going to go full on, well, we'll step it up in the playoffs mode, right? That's what they do. Crawford's one of the best in the business, and one of the reasons that fans were saying, yeah, they'll step it up in the playoffs. Now we're not sure, right? He could single-handedly save and win a game for you in the playoffs. Still no word from the Blackhawks, so maybe they're on the hunt for the vertigo serum in the jungles of South America or something like that. We're running out of time, although Scotty Bowman did say on Twitter that the story is off, and it's not what's been reported. But he didn't go far enough to say, Crow's back! So I think that's probably semantics. The Cubs shored up the first out of the seventh inning today by signing reliever Brian Dunsing. He's returning. Still no movement on the big free agent, so no Arrieta, no Yu Darvish, no J.D. Martinez, no Candy Maldonado. Gotcha. 80s baseball name thrown in there right at the end. No Danny Tartable news. Pirates fans getting irate after the team decided to half-ass rebuild. Save money. By dealing Garrett Cole and Andrew McCutchen. This after the Pirates just suffered through a rebuild less than a decade ago. McCutchen's getting old, I get it, but he's coming off a great year, MVP-like year. Cole, on the other hand, I mean, seems like a weird call, right? He's a young pitcher. You need arms. What are you doing? It'd be like the Cubs trading Anthony Rizzo. That's what trading Andrew McCutchen says to Pirates fans. If the Cubs are like, we need to get rid of someone, let's just get rid of Rizzo. No. No good. Sorry. Urlacher back in the news from some stuff, the same stuff from 10 years ago. His ex-girlfriend suing him for defamation. This is the same woman who was always in the news for some fight or another, telling us that Urlacher painted his kid's toes. Remember that? Wasn't she also the woman who accused Michael Flatley of rape and then lost the lawsuit? And was countersued and flatly won the settlement. That's right, right? It's all coming back to me. And why is it coming back? How have I retained that information? Of all the information in the world, I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, isn't that the story where, why do I care? Gosh, she's probably just jealous of Urlacher's new high top fade. Cool part. And finally tonight, Apple is planning to bring billions of dollars of business back into the U.S. after the government cut the corporate tax rate. That's a huge plus for the country. No word on how long the billions will last and if we're just going to have to buy another billions in a year. I mean, that's just possibly the one thing. The iPhone X joke there. That's the carry out for January 17, 2018. Hey, you don't have to read the news. We do it for you. Supersized carry out. Just in time for Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, which is up next here on WGN Radio. So we'll be back tomorrow. So we'll take a quick break here. We'll come back. Patty will be here. Find out what's on our program. Stay with us. All right. There you go. Well, another loss for the Northwestern Wildcats. They had a chance there. It looked like they might have a chance to steal that one coming back, cutting it to three. But it wasn't theirs tonight at the Allstate Arena, losing to the Ohio State Buckeyes. We were hoping this was going to be the one, Pete. This was going to be the one that started the
turnaround.
The turnaround. They need quality wins. I was just looking at the Big Ten standings, and this puts them down towards the bottom. They kind of got hopscotch. They have the same record, although the overall is better for Rutgers than Northwestern. I understand that obviously they're not winning. They're 11-9. That's not good enough. But they're also in a division this year with the Big Ten that is much different, much more improved than last year. So it's going to be tough for them.
Yeah, they're going to have to go on a run. Because even if they go, if they could lose 12 games, but they need to win against a Purdue or whatever they have, you know, some of the higher ranked teams, or make a run in the tournament.
Yeah, here, let me check it out. But I feel like, they're gonna have to win against ranked teams, and now it's gonna be all Big Ten teams from here on out. Mm-hmm. They're not gonna have the opportunity. So they've got, let's see here. This is all the schedule that ends on. This is football. I love when you just put. I always put Northwestern in, and it comes up. I guess that says something for Northwestern sports that Google loves football.
Yeah, the right? Northwestern Wildcats' next game will be against
exactly.
I did that earlier. Central Florida in Nashville.
I think it was halftime, and they were in the commercial, and I was like, oh, I went to Google see Ohio State Northwestern, and it said 24-20 final Ohio State, and I was like, what? What is this? That's a
slow moving game.
All right, so they've got coming up here. They lose tonight. They got Penn State.
That's a win.
Middle of the road, right? They're at home for that. Then they go to Minnesota. They beat Minnesota not too long ago.
They can win. They can beat.
Yeah. Then here comes Michigan, who's ranked.
Mm-hmm.
So they're up there. So they go to Ann Arbor for that. Wisconsin's not ranked, but still pretty good. And then back, Michigan comes back. Maryland, Rutgers, Michigan State, Maryland, Wisconsin, Iowa.
Yeah, they could run the table.
Yeah, they could. They actually could. I feel like that's possible. You know, maybe that's. It doesn't seem like that is overwhelming when you think about it. But you know what? I mean, they got to start winning one of these, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I guess that's the last game of the year is the end of February. Because then they do the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah, it comes up in the middle of March.
And I think that I want to say, I don't know how it all works out this year, but I think the Big Ten tournament would be the next week, and then the next week would be March Madness. So it may be the week before St. Patrick's Day this year. Let's take a look.
I think the tournament, the Big Ten tournament is like the week before St. Patrick's Day, and then Selection Sunday, and then the tournament would start that Thursday.
Okay. So there you go.
I took a very hard loss today, too. My Texas Tech Red Raiders, who are having a tremendous season.
They're a top 10 team. Yeah,
yeah, they beat West Virginia on Saturday. It was all psyched up. Brought my Texas Tech hat in. Lost to their rival, Texas Longhorns. The Shaka Smart led Texas Longhorns. Very disappointing and the Red Raiders tonight.
Yeah, but that's college basketball, And I'll watch it on SportsCenter, and Duke will lose, Kentucky will lose, Kansas will lose. And you're like, meh. The other night, Oklahoma lost with Trae Young.
Yeah.
And I was like, meh.
Trae Young yesterday, who was the best player in college basketball. You watch ESPN this morning for 10 minutes. What's the matter with Trae Young?
He only scored 20 points. Yeah, he got beat by Kansas State. I was just thinking about this with Northwestern down and out and possibly missing the NCAA tournament if things they still can turn it around.
Yeah.
11-9. There's really no – is there any school in the – Chicago area, the state of Illinois, that would be looking to get a berth in the NCAA? Notre Dame, I mean, that's always, and that's kind of out.
Valpo,
maybe. I mean, I guess they have to win their league.
I might go with the Loyola Ramblers.
Yeah, I know. I mean,
they're having a good season.
They have to win it.
They beat Florida.
But see, Loyola has to win it, and they're not even the best team in their conference.
They're like 15. I think they're like 15-4, but they lost a couple of games in conference to like UW Milwaukee.
That's the problem, is that they're going to have to win their basketball tournament to get in, even if they end up being 21-7.
Yeah,
it's not going to be good enough. But yeah, they're in the same Missouri Valley as Valparaiso. Bradley, that kind of stuff. So
I think they have a chance.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll look at Loyola as one. But I was thinking about this the other day with the Blackhawks struggles, right? The Bulls struggles, the Bears struggles, the Northwestern Illinois struggles, the White Sox. I can't believe I'm saying this, but thank God for the Cubs. Like it's amazing to think about that Chicago sports is not doing so well in 2018, but and 2017-2018. But it's the Cubs are the only team that had any sort of winning, because the Blackhawks were the number one seed in the beginning of 2017, and they were bounced in the first round, and the Bulls went to the playoffs and were bounced in the first round, right? And Northwestern, but I mean if you do just talking about like the fall in this season, 2017-2018.
Nothing.
Things are not looking good.
No.
We put a lot of, we're going to put all of our eggs in the Chicago Cubs basket this summer.
And the White Sox.
Yeah. 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 You know.
The Hope White Sox, springs eternal.
I was very excited about the White Sox. We'll talk sports here, but I was very excited when the Manny Machado Baltimore Orioles rumors came about that they were looking to shop him and the White Sox were aggressive suitors. I was like, I got really excited about my White Sox. I was like, this is it. We can be a much quicker playoff team with a guy like Manny Machado, but that cooled off. And now whenever you read about Manny Machado and the Orioles, they're like, maybe, but they're talking about different teams. They're not going to talk about the White Sox anymore. So I think they missed the boat on that. So now, without a star like that, you go back to the rebuilding, which they had, is it Robert?
Yeah.
They had a Twitter video, I think Kevin Powell had it, where they showed him doing his first U.S. batting practice, and he's huge.
Yeah.
So you're kind of like, okay, well, maybe, but again, that's talking about a team 3 years from now. I don't even think he makes the field. He doesn't even make the team this year. Eloy Jimenez, I don't even know if those guys make the team this year. And that's the hard part. You're like, these are amazing players that could be up in White Sox uniforms at one point, but I don't know if that will be 2018. And that's hard to stomach for a fan because the Cubs fans just had to go through it, of course, but you know, when you're looking and you're projecting out to be like, oh, this is just another year. It's going to be 2020 that we're going to be watching and caring. That's hard.
I don't know. I felt like the Cubs kind of came together. Well, you know, they say, you know, that the 1 year that they won the 97 games, that was a year ahead of schedule. Yeah. So, I mean, it could happen.
Yeah, that's the hope. As long as they're competitive. That's the one thing about tonight, the Chicago Bulls losing to the Golden State Warriors. But you want them to be competitive. You want them to be in at least show some heart and soul on the court, even if they're not going to have the talent. Or in basketball, there are two major components that make a team great, and that's how you play with 2 minutes left before the end of the half and 2 minutes left at the end of the game. And the Bulls still have to work on that. They have had trouble where they've had leads in the fourth quarter, and teams that are obviously have more talent are able to come back and cut into those leads, and they've had a hard time coming from behind. So they're not there yet, but they do have a lot of talent. And tonight, you saw them hang with the Golden State Warriors, and when they needed to hit clutch shots to be there with a chance to win, they couldn't do it. But, you know, again, where are you with this team in the way that, you know, they're in the rebuild as well? So lots of rebuild.
Yeah, it's not fun. It's always exciting when, you know, the Hawks and the Bulls are in the playoffs in the springtime, and then it seeps over into summer, and then baseball starting, and that whole confluence of all these things going on.
There's nothing better than the springtime May playoff run of the Blackhawks and the Bulls.
Yeah.
There's nothing better. When the Bulls had Derrick Rose, great, and they would get to the Eastern Conference Finals, and then you had the Blackhawks at the same time making moves. You felt like it was such a great time to be in Chicago, and the weather was getting nice.
Right.
And you're outside, and you're like, oh, yeah, this is great. It reminds me of and I know all the listeners know this, but when Pippen and Jordan and Rodman and those guys at the end of their careers would be that's when you would do the grilling out in the back. Someone would have a party.
Yep.
In May, June. You watch game four.
After your softball game, you go out there.
Speaking of softball, I was telling my son yesterday, we walked to school, right? It's not very far, but it is just cold.
Yeah.
Like in the morning, it's the first, it's going to hit you. And I was walking with him and I said, hey, you remember what I told you in June? In June, I told him one time we were walking to school and with t-shirts on and shorts. And I said, remember this day. Because when we get to January and February and the wind is howling and it's cold and we got scarves on and you could feel the cold on your face, it's not going to be like this. So remember this day. And so I said, do you remember that? And he said, yeah. And I'm like, yeah, see, this is what I'm talking about. So visualize that. Remember in June, this day. Like, it's just kind of, and I was like, and you know, you just remember all the fun we'd have in June and all the great times and, you know, so nice. And then, you know, you get to come watch dad play softball. And remember, I won all those championships, remember? And such a great team. And it wasn't just the offense, it was the defense and the way that we would be able to just really execute, be able to turn double plays in 16-inch softball. It's just not heard of. And just, you know, the fact that we were down in some games, we came back, but the idea of being two-time champions and one and a third, you know, showing, making the championship game and losing. So remember that.
What are we talking about here?
At that point, he's already in the school, and I'm standing there in the cold, like, oh, what happened? What happened? I'm reliving my glory days. There is nothing better. There is nothing more glorious than winning a 16-inch softball championship.
It's up there.
And what are you talking about? You're talking about birth of child, talking about big promotion at work.
Wedding day,
16-inch championship. Yeah, anyone who's ever played the game, you know it, man. There's nothing better than actually excelling when you're really not an athlete. That's the beauty of the 16-inch softball is you've brought together a ragtag people that most people work with you, and they're athletic to an extent.
Yeah.
But you've all come together and you've created chemistry to just siphon as much athleticism as you possibly can, the least amount you possibly can, and you do something great. Then you go home.
One year I was on a softball team for my radio station that I was working at the time, and we played the front office workers of the Chicago White Sox.
Wow.
In 12-inch softball, not 16-inch softball. And of course, everybody that works for the White Sox is like a former college baseball player. We lost like 72-3. Like, normally you get out there, it's other radio stations, right. You know, there's like maybe one good player, two good players, everybody else is pretty equal, nobody's really taking it too seriously.
No, you can't. That's I don't like 12-inch. I feel like that's the problem with 12-inch, is that you can rely on the skills that you were taught in baseball. In 16-inch softball, there is a place for people like me, who has good hand-eye coordination, but will not be punished for not playing organized collegiate sports. There's no glove, you know, like you just have to catch a pop-up.
Yeah, don't don't get me started on the initiation of the glove into 16 inch softball, which we had seen in our media league that we were both in. I'm like, what is this? Monstrosity.
It became, well, I just, you know, I broke a finger, so can I wear a glove? Then it was like, well, you know, she's more comfortable with the glove. Then it became like, well, can we just have gloves when we play shortstop? I was like, this is blasphemy.
Hey, try explaining 16-inch softball when you're living in Canada.
Oh, did you try to bring it up there? Did you try to play a game while,
like,
you're explaining it?
I brought one of my softballs along with me. I said, hey, come on, let's play. I'm like, well, what is this thing? Great. Like, it's a softball. I'm like, no, it's not. It's a grapefruit with leather.
I just love the idea that somehow that sport became Chicago, and people break fingers, and it really isn't. It's really not a safe sport in any form. But I just love the fact that somehow we're like, no, it's great. It's a soft ball. It's not that soft, especially when it comes out of the box.
Yeah,
it's like, really hard.
It's like, ow.
Yeah.
See, we did it for everybody. We all came together as one here in Chicago and talked about softball like it was June, even though we're in the middle of January. See that? We just distracted everybody from the cold. How about that, Rob?
And Chicago sports.
We did it. Thanks, Rob. Struck a chord. Talking softball. Who doesn't want to talk softball? I mean, we could do it all night, right? Because it feels like not only does it bring us back to our best selves, but it's a great way to think about the glory days of summer. Right, Tom? What do you think, Tom? Did I nail it there?
Yes, you did. Thanks. I called a couple weeks ago trying to get something on the worst of.
Yeah, sure.
And I mentioned the stickers on the back of the cars that say, I don't turn right on red.
Right.
anyhow, this is about softball. You guys were talking about it, and I just relayed a relatively funny story to your producer. I'm from the northeast side of Chicago, been here all my life, 66 years.
Wow.
And when I was about 19, went up to Wisconsin, where a friend of mine that was in my neighborhood used to work up there in the summers on a pig farm in Darlington, Wisconsin. And he became friends with some of the local guys his age, you know, our age. And then we traveled up there just to get out of Chicago for a weekend here and there. And we met these guys, and of course they liked to drink as much as we did here. You know, they were, I think it was legal there. This is going back in the early 70s, either 69, 70, 71 probably. And I think 18 years of age was the legal drinking age in Wisconsin at that time.
Okay.
So once we crossed the border, we were cool, you know.
Yeah.
We challenged them one weekend to a game of softball, and they agreed, you know, because we all just wanted to have a good time and party. So we went up there a couple of weekends later and brought our clinchers with, and they looked at it like they were watermelons, and they don't play 16 inch in Wisconsin there.
Right, of course. They
show up with their mitts in the 12 inch.
Yeah, right.
I had never even seen that game played.
They're dainty neon balls.
Yeah. Sure. I think they were all white. I don't think neon was.
That wasn't around back then, but you know what I'm talking about then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. So
dumb 12 inch ball. Got it.
We had to get the keggers out or the cans out, whatever we did. I don't remember.
Did you teach them?
What's that?
Did you teach them? Did you play 16-inch?
Oh, we played a game of each.
Oh, okay.
And, of course, none of us were really very, very good athletes. You know, we're athletic, but maybe played basketball. A couple of guys probably played baseball in high school. But in any case, I don't remember who won, if we played through both games or not. But I'm sure by the beginning of the second game, we were probably all half in the bag.
That's part of the softball routine. That's right.
And it was, you know, bright sunny day in southwest Wisconsin. Darlington was the name of the town.
Love it. You're bringing back memories. Thanks, Tom. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it, man.
You're welcome.
Thanks for calling back
Thank
in.
You.
773 says, lots of beer thrown all over us in a neighborhood park. 16-inch softball win back in the day. We are the champion playing on the jukebox. 815 said, I had a guy on our team stick out his hand in first inning and stop a line drive. Bad idea. Split the palm wide open from the base of his thumb to the little finger. We won the game, though. That's what I'm saying, man. Like, we could do this all night, but we're not going to. We're not going to talk about softball. I mean, I could. If you really want to twist my arm, I could talk about softball, 16 softball. If you have not seen, gone to YouTube and watched, put in Mike Royko sometimes 16 inch softball, there's a point when he's done with one of the games he's playing and he's down there and someone turns the camera on and he talks about the ethos and the philosophy and the game of 16 inch softball, and he's in his jersey smoking a cigarette with a Billy Goat beer, and his, I think he might even have like wristbands on, sweatbands. It's, you got to see it. It's great. It's a must watch.